Hi Tracy, welcome to the Heart of Connection podcast. I'm your host Mark Randall, and it's lovely to be in downtown Koroit having a conversation with you. Just by way of intro, would you mind giving a brief introduction to who you are and what life's like for you? And
no worries. I'm Tracy Marnie. I was born Tracy Whitehead in Port Ferry, small town in Victoria. And here I am, not far from where I was born. I've travelled lots and lots of places all over Australia and done many jobs. But here I am back near home.
Back near home.
And I have my four grandchildren in my care now, so that's what I do by way of work.
Yeah.
Although I've done many things, but I'm very passionate about music and culture and spirituality.
Cool. And being raised in Port Ferry, travelled the world, now back in Koroit, is there a connection and affinity to this region? Is this home?
Definitely. This is home. I'm quite passionate about the fact that people do need to go home, even if it's just to revisit, as far as go back to country, and then they can continue with their life.
Tell me, the heart of connection, when we've had this, we've had a conversation about it a while ago, and when you think about or feel, what happens for you with that concept, the heart of connection? What comes up into your mind?
I like the idea that our spiritual health and our physical health and our mental health are all just one, that's health. So if something's a little bit amiss, that disrupts the conduit, the connectivity. So you become less efficient. I like to help people to be efficient with their words and their mindfulness. Yeah.
How do you connect to yourself? What do you notice in, what's your process to connect to Tracy?
I love to be on my own, and I find one of my favourite things that I do is I either go to the ocean, which is only 5 minutes from here. That's a really big thing for me, which frees my mind, and that's how I connect to the real me, because it's not about, you know, did I get milk and bread for tea or whatever. It's the deeper thing. The other thing I love to do is in my garden. So I'm very, very big on nature. Nature's my connectivity. Nature is my God.
And does the nature ground you?
Yes, yeah, very much so. Yeah. I love to work with nature, as in put your hands in the water, put your hands in the sand. Yeah.
And what's it like to experience the real you as you've grounded in nature?
I try to be the real me all the time. Yeah, I suppose that's in thought, word and deed, as far as first thought is right thought. I often say to people, I haven't got time to muck about, in that I'll just tell you how I feel straight up. It just saves us all a lot of bother. And I do tend to find that I can see when people are pretending, so just cut through that. Yeah.
Okay. When you have that groundedness, what happens to the thoughts in your mind? What happens to you inside your body? What do you notice when you?
I just feel very free.
Are you centered?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. I know. A little while back, I was actually off kilter. I was out of balance, mm-hmm. but I feel I'm back there now. And that was a lot of stress in my life, as in we all have daily stresses. And some, I know last year it was more a big lot of stress for a long time, and that makes it very hard to be you, because you've got so much else going on. I think I felt like I was, you know, popping and fizzing, and instead of just being calm.
When you're free, what do you experience in your mind and your heart?
It feels like jazz. it's that's a hard one to say, but I do listen to a lot of jazz for that reason, that it actually makes my being float.
When your being floats, where do you go?
Into the ether. That's a hard one, because I don't believe I've actually had an out of body experience, but that might be what we're talking about. I don't know, but it's just a sense of freedom within yourself, so that is like a floating. It's a hard one to actually put into words.
That's right. And that's what we're experiencing with this conversation, is as the conversation sometimes deepens into the subject, it is very difficult to put a cognitive language to that
feeling.
It can be an esoterical feeling sometimes. Some call it the woo-hoo feeling. But
okay. Yep.
when you're in that freedom, what do you experience happens with your mental health?
Oh, it's a healing. Yeah, very much so, which is why I'm quite passionate about not taking drugs to mask things, but in fact the opposite, to take drugs to realise or work out what might be the underlying issue and work on that, so that is true healing.
Yeah. Yep. When you experience disconnection, what happens inside your body and inside your mind?
I find I've got a bit of an anger, as in I just get frustrated, which can be an angry frustration, yeah, which is why, and that's why once again I say I have to go out in the garden or go, I have to go into nature, yeah, rather than...
To expend the energy out?
Perhaps, yeah, yeah. Okay. I don't think I've ever really thought why, I just know I have to do it.
Yeah. How do you bring, when there's disconnection, how do you bring the connection back to yourself?
I suppose many different ways, but I do know when I'm not together, when I'm, yeah, when it's discordant. And sometimes, like I know last year, I was out of sorts for a while, and there kind of was nothing I could do because there was too many things going on for me to get to that place where I needed to get. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The connection to others. How do you experience that connection to others? Do you search for it? Do you vibe on it?
People find me. Okay. That's all I've got. Yeah, because yeah. I love being on my own, and that's one of my underlying frustrations is, oh, why can't they just leave me alone? in that people do find me perhaps because I instill a sense of calmness in them, or knowledge, or sense of direction, whatever it might be, in that I'm truly happy where I am. This is my place. I'm meant to be here. I'm not meant to be somewhere else. So with that comes a surety, a sense of I'm on the right track, I'm here. So.
And do people vibe off that?
I believe so. Yeah. I get a lot of people come to me and go, wow, I really like your house. It's just such a good feeling. And I say, it's because I belong. I'm meant to be here. This is, yeah. Uh-huh. So that to me is connected, as in I'm connected to my path, my direction, yeah.
Is it like the sense of self is broadened to the house and
perhaps, yeah.
And your sense of self is not just you, but it is...
This is me, as in it is my house, my home, my even my family is part of that, my dogs, that it's... This is me, yeah. Because we're not just one single entity. That is yeah, what we are is all of us.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. One of my grandsons is an incredibly... he's an incredibly smart boy. And I'll often say, you know, that something about the ocean, and he'll just turn around and go, I am the ocean. And he says this about all kinds of things, and I go, wow, you're onto it. Yeah. Yeah.
As we're having that conversation, are you connecting to the invisible energy of the as you're having the sharing the story with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's energetically there. And it's in the room.
Yep. Right here, right now. And that's, I love living in the present, as in, you know, don't dwell on the past or worry about the future, but just deal what you can deal with now.
What is the... Do you let go of the connection to the past?
No, I think I try to deal with the past is the most important. Yeah.
Is that connecting... What's the learning as you connect to the past?
I'm actually quite happy to still make mistakes, but it's good to know that you've made mistakes and perhaps don't do that again. The past beats inside us, I suppose. It's, yeah.
Is the past a teaching to improve our connection to ourselves?
I believe so, yeah, yeah.
In light and dark?
Well, I often think that fairy tales, as in, you know, there's people you meet that you must be kind to that perhaps look like you maybe wouldn't be kind to, as in that it's all a journey, yeah, which is why I'm passionate about mindfulness. Be kind, just be kind. There's too much greed in the world, because greed is the opposite of connection.
Where does kindness come from in your body?
basically from your heart, but it's your mind that is using that energy. Yeah, so you choose to be kind. Yeah, just picking something up that someone dropped or whatever that may be. Yeah.
What happens to your body and to your energy when you're in that space of kindness?
I become more enlightened. I love that. Yeah, I love, you know, reading what, like the Dalai Lama, yeah, and people that just, even Mother Teresa, people that just go, just be kind. Yeah, their whole teaching is that, which is a very spiritual thing, I think. Yeah, yeah, that allays bad energy.
Where does that bad energy go in that in the energy of kindness and compassion and love? Does it dissolve? Does it?
I hope so. Yeah, I think it dissipates, as in it's diluted and dissipates. Yeah, yeah.
How do you remind yourself to come back to that point?
I often say whenever I have a fit of rage or whatever, I always go, anger is an energy, as in it is, and it's up to us to channel it into a positive energy, because anger can be very destructive, but to be destructive can also be positive. So it's a sort of a balance, I suppose, a fine line of always being kind, but being angry to fix something, to change it.
So use it as a motivation to make changes.
Yeah.
When you've made those changes, does that then give
you
time? Which
might see the greater good at the end.
Okay. Yeah. What's it like to connect to that greater good?
Ooh, it's awesome. I don't know. I just feel so super happy being me. So to me, that is, I'm okay with everything that I've done and everything I'm doing. Yeah.
Does that take time to, you know,
I believe
of life,
so, yeah,
events, to be able to get to that point?
It's certainly only been in the last, say, five years that I've felt this good about myself, that I always worried that, you know, my bum was too big, or that I didn't have what I, you know, I should have had a better car that didn't break down, whereas now I actually don't care. It doesn't matter. I've got to that point where it doesn't matter what my bum looks like, that I'm happy in it. So, yeah. And I think that is a bit of an aging thing, that no teenagers are happy because they're still learning this to be happy. Yeah, which is similar. That's why small kids are incredibly happy, because they're already doing it. They're living in that present, that here and now. Whereas, yeah, I think middle age, even you're still, you know, paying off mortgages or whatever, you've got too many outside stresses. As in, I'm still paying off my mortgage, but I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder whether sometimes that economic, you know, is that economic anxiety keeps us all in survival mode.
Perhaps, yeah.
And
yeah,
stops us
from just drifting
from
off.
Drifting,
yeah,
off, or connecting, yeah, to, yeah, the greater good.
Yeah, because you do, like I do have to be, you know, business-like. I have to, I often say to people, because I've got my grandchildren in my care, I actually have to run a small army, which is very business-like.
Yeah. How would life be different if in that business-like space you were able to bring more of the greater good connection with you?
That's a tricky one, because business is the opposite of the greater good. Or like in the greed and, yeah, sometimes you have to be ruthless to, as in, I have to say, get to school now, yeah, you know, instead of being kind and going,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it is a juggle. It's a juggle of being in the real world and being in your own world of happiness, sort of thing, and to try and make those two mesh at the end, yeah.
Have you worked out that magical formula to work out what that mesh is?
I'm still working on it. I'm doing that as we speak.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. That it's, and it is a daily struggle too, you know. Some days I honestly just go, I give up, as in, and I just let the kids go on their iPad and I, you know, lay around and just read a book, which to me is kind of recharging my mental batteries as well as my physical self.
Have you disconnected then? to read?
Perhaps to in the I've just switched off.
Switched off. Yes, yeah. Still connected, but switched the part of yourself off.
I'm in power saving mode. Or
well, look, I think that's really my belief is we've got, you know, jokingly say we've got between 85% and 93% energy in our bodies each day, and we need to recharge.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we walk, as soon as we walk out the front door, we walk into the digital Bronx, so to speak.
Yes, yep.
And our energy has been consumed.
And it's grinding you down. That's what I find. That some days it is a bit too much, so you do need to just switch down.
Yep. Yeah. Do you have any techniques or any strategies to remind yourself to connect to your greater good?
I think those are the times when I just say, I think I better have a marijuana cookie and just relax, not stress about the things that I was stressing on. I learned a really interesting thing years ago, which was simply, if you can't change it, don't worry about it. And that really affected my brain, as far as that was part of my getting on the path to being happy within myself, because I was trying to change things, but I was worrying about a lot of things that I had no hope of changing. You know, being an environmentalist, and I still do worry about those things, but I know I can't change them, that we all have to. But if I give up, well, that's like everyone gives up. So it is a balance.
One of the threads that I've been asking people in the conversations is, when you connect to that greater good, or as we individually, each of us, connect to the greater good within ourselves, we're healing ourselves, and I'm wondering what energy that has for Mother Earth.
That's an interesting one. I don't know if I even have what to say about that one. That's hard. And I can hear the dogs barking.
You know, because when you're in that space of the greater good and you're feeling really good, you're energetically putting out a vibration to the universe.
Which is what I maintain. I do try to keep up, and I often, at the end of the day, I'll go, oh, like I've kept so many people up, I'm a bit flat. So I do understand that, but I know there's only like a little old me sort of thing. That's how I often think of myself, that my big heart's going to break this little old body. But I've only got so much. I've got a quantifiable amount of energy, and that's it.
Yeah. How much love do you give that little old me?
Not enough. Yeah, I'm busy giving it to a lot of other people. But in saying that, that gives me love. So the perpetuality of it, in that by giving love, I get enough love for myself. Yeah.
That's a connection.
That sure is. Yep. And I try to go on that. So, but to me, that's why I need to turn off and just have some me time, which is recharging my me batteries. Yeah.
And that's connecting to yourself.
Yeah.
Which is really, really important.
Yeah. Things like once every couple of months I go and get a massage and things like that, which is just, you know, like getting a new set of tyres on your car.
I like that one.
Yes. Yeah. But it's important, yeah.
When we have a conversation through to the universe and the all it is, how do you notice yourself connecting to the all it is, and what is your connection to the all it is?
Oh, see, and I'm not even sure what the all it is. Mm. Sometimes I think that God is the ocean, I'm very passionate about nature. So to me, but I haven't ruled out that, you know, there very well may be many infinite beings of all power or omnipotence. But then I think, no, they're cruel. Whereas to me, I'd like to think that my nature is true and beautiful and wholesome. Whereas, when I think about a god or a spirit, they're often malevolent. So the all it is, but that made me think of the yin-yang, that there is always bad to every good. There is always dark to every light. That's the balance we have to have. And so in people, that we all have our bad, it's just that we don't let that get out too much. Let the good get out. Channel it.
In when you talked of nature, just the word harmony came, mm-hmm. you know, it sounded like or looked mm. like from how I was interpreting it, is that sense of harmony.
Yep. That's,
whereas the gods, it's not necessarily.
Oh, that's a clash of symbols and yeah. Ooh.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm very interested in mythology and the way that many cultures have described their gods. Yeah.
When you're at the ocean, does your sense of self, do the sense of I dissolve into the oneness of the ocean?
It's more, yeah, I feel complete, as in I am in this complete picture of completeness.
Right.
Kind of, yeah. Where, so I stop being me, I start being it. That, like, yeah, I start being part of the world.
Looked like a pretty powerful connection to be.
It is, yeah. Yeah. It's, and I need it. I know I've lived in places where the ocean wasn't. I've lived inland and I kept going, I need the ocean. So that's, and I was born on the ocean, so I was probably, that. Yeah, it's a very strong thing for me that I love to visit places with mountains and, you know, other scenic wonders, but I need to go back to the ocean.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it touches you?
Yeah. Yeah. I touch it, it touches me.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happens to your mind when you...
It's free, yeah. That's about it. I actually love going to the ocean with people, and then we walk along and we talk about things because it's free. It is, yeah. People feel different than in a kitchen.
When your mind's free like that, are you more open to your heart and soul?
I believe so. Yeah. You're more able to reach whatever a problem might be that may be hidden if you're in this digital grind. Yeah.
Does that problem get met in that space? Energetically?
Perhaps, yeah. So sometimes it's a bit more like the recharging of batteries, as in I just need to go and have a nothing think.
A nothing think. Yeah, no thing.
Yeah. Think of no thing. Just wander.
What do you experience happens in your heart when you've got that no thing?
I don't think I can remember. It's just because it's a nothing, so I'm not really aware of it. It's just a freeing, I suppose, a freeing of all the little cogs that might get caught up and stuck in your brain. Because I like to think of my brain as being this machine that has many, many openings and doors. And when I can't think of something, that's just my brain shutting a door. But, of course, you have to oil the hinges, so to speak, yeah. And look after your brain. Be kind to it. Which means like reading and doing things for it, listening to music, yeah, pleasing it.
And the music takes the, does that slow some of those cogs down in the mind?
Do you believe so, that's or it just opens all the doors and lets every room in there get some peace and light.
Yeah. Is that a connection to you?
I guess so, yeah. Well, it's my brain, so it has to be me.
Yeah,
that's a tricky one. It's sort of hard to talk about these things because I experience them, I suppose. I don't actually talk about them, so yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, and the more I'm wondering whether we talk about it, it's how do we recognise, because we are going to close doors in our brain, we're going to open them, and and a lot of those doors are there for self-survival, I guess.
Correct, yeah.
And so it's how do we, you know, not lose sight? How do we get caught up in all those doors sometimes?
I believe we do, yeah. But that's human nature. There's so many distractions and there's so much to do this current life we're leading is just so, you know, with all this digital hoo-ha going on, whereas, you know, 100 years ago I can imagine life was much simpler in the brain. That we just had to do a certain job and you just had to stay with that certain partner and raise those certain kids or whatever it was, whereas now it's all just too darn complicated.
It's adding too many doors in there?
Way too many. Oh, there's like multi-levels of them, so to speak, whereas, we used to have to simply do these basic jobs,
With all those multi-layered doors in there, are we becoming more disconnected?
I think so, yeah.
As you were sharing that story about the multi-layered and the doors and the simplicity back, just having one job, or it reminded me of the Indigenous Dreamtime.
Yep. Yeah, because I love that, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, where are they in dream time? Are they connected? Where are they connected in dream time?
Mm.
Because the simplicity of life,
and that's exactly right, is in the doing, whereas we've just got too much to do, I believe, this current modern life, and we're worried about buying a new couch which shouldn't be a worry. Yeah, we're worried about too much. And even the stress we're putting on our children, as far as, you have to succeed, you have to be something. Whereas I think, no, you don't have to be anything. You just have to be happy with whatever it is that you do. Whereas that doesn't come into it. It's all about ATAR scores and, you have to succeed.
Is happiness a mind concept, or is happiness a heart concept, or both?
I think it's both. I often say, like, physical health and mental health are the same thing. They're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Heart health and mind health are the one. To me, yeah, that is interconnected.
And when they're lined up, what's life like, and what's your connection like?
That's enlightenment, isn't it? Yes, that is when everything's aligned and you truly feel good, which is kind of, most days I feel like I'm pretty good. I wake up happy, whereas 20 years ago, I didn't wake up happy. I woke up going, I've got all this stuff to do. Whereas now I wake up going, I've got all this stuff to do. I'm so busy, but I'm happy about that.
So that alignment, like an enlightenment?
I believe so,
What would happen if you were able to string more of those glimpses of enlightenment together?
You would become a super being. Well, hopefully.
But and this conversation that you're having now, it's been repeated before, is it like a glimpse of, it's that awe, it's that sense of, wow.
Mm.
It's how do we string it together in our everyday life? How do we
connect
to ourselves? And I'd be just curious, when you do have those aha moments and connect to that, how much more energy is left available for Tracy?
Mm.
Is the energy unlimited for you?
Because I know sometimes I meet people and just go, wow, like we're really connected in this way that I've just met you, but I just feel like we're. So, and that happens. I love to go
Did
out.
Did that just happen then as you said that?
Perhaps. But if you don't believe, it won't happen.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why I'm very open to that.
Yeah, and this is really because that energy that we just touched on just then, it's beyond words.
Mm. Correct, yeah. Yeah, it's very hard to say what happened.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's like at a working at an intuitive level.
Mm. Correct. And I've always been very, very big on the fact that, I'll walk up the front just because I know someone's coming to the door.
Okay.
That if use it or lose it, as in, be aware of it, and just know, sometimes I'll walk up there and, just go, well, I knew they were coming.
As you've worked through life, if you were to give advice to young girls coming through, what would be the advice you'd give them about connection?
I instantly want to say, your bum actually looks good. As in, don't worry about it.
Right.
I think young girls are really, and young boys too, people are really hung up on their own image of whatever they perceive that they want to be, and that's sort of the opposite to connectivity. That's just superficial.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people these days are worried about the superficial, So I suppose, but happiness has to be the key to it. I do believe that once you're happy, things happen.
How often do you come into your heart to that happiness?
I try to do it all the time.
Yeah.
I try to be there. I try to live there. It doesn't happen because many things, happen in my daily life, but I still try to be happy about it, yeah.
Yeah. It looks like it's really settled. It's
me. And I do believe it is because of my belonging, that I belong here and I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. So that gives me a great sense of settle. Yeah, of settle.
Really connected to self.
Yeah.
In that belonging.
Yeah.
Tracy, are there any other words of wisdom that you would love to share?
I don't think I've got any at the moment.
This has been a beautiful conversation.
Lovely.
It's really fascinating to just go with the flow. We don't know where it's going to go. Mm. You're sharing your inner wisdom.
No worries. Thank you.
It's lovely to hear. Because every human being, we've all got this.
We've all got this, which is why I say about, you know, toddlers and babies, they just shine because they're already experiencing that inner happiness. And then we just sort of lose it through teenage years and hopefully, yeah, that's why I guess old people look quite beautiful because they're serene and they're happy.
And they've reconnected back to that source.
Yeah. So like you said about a sense of preservation and survival, that maybe we do need to just shut that down for a while to get stuff done.
Well done. Tracy, thank you for the opportunity to have this conversation. And it's beautiful to just be in the space to connect to it.
Fantastic.
And I don't think words are ever enough to describe
what goes on.
Yep. And I really appreciate the opportunity. Namaste to you.
Thank you.
Cheers.